Hello, all you lovelies out there. Welcome to an 11 p.m. nightcap. Hope you are all doing good. We're going to talk a little bit today about a few things. A very, very little bit of a brief movie talk. And then we're going to explore an article about something kind of crazy that I had not heard of until I watched this movie, but it's I think it's interesting and rather fascinating. But yeah, we have Krista here with some Who Loves You Baby, You're Beautiful, and some frogs, and Reverend Master's here, and Black Cat's Poppy stopping with a hello. As a pre whatever thing, there will not be a show Wednesday, at least I don't think. I don't know. I may stream from my tablet or phone just super briefly, but I will be back in Michigan. So I'm flying home that Wednesday morning. So, yeah, I won't have this. I haven't decided whether I'm going to bring this laptop or not. Part of me wants to. Part of me is like, do you ever want to bring that? I could probably just bring my tablet instead. I don't think I'm really going to need it. We'll see. But yeah, Black Cat says, have a good trip. Krista says, happy 1 week before Christmas. Actually, isn't it closer than that now? Isn't it closer than that? Because that's, yeah. There's a calendar. Why don't you show me a date? Oh, yeah, okay. 7 days till, I guess. And so, yeah, and then I come back on a Wednesday. So, depending on how tired I am and whatever, that next Wednesday, there's the possibility of chatting with you guys. Don't know about that Monday either. And if we do it, it may just be some simple little, maybe small, maybe short. But I guess what I'm saying is this may be the last show for a week or so. I'm gonna miss you guys because you've been here and supported and listened and helped and everything else all year, and especially lately with things not necessarily being the happiest and greatest and whatever. It's been a big, gonna be honest, the doing this show and talking to you guys, it's a big help. It's a bigger help than I think you realize for me too. You know, and that's why I say always, if there's, you know, things you need to vent about or talk about or whatever it is, we're here for you with things in our eye. Krista hasn't started shopping yet, but only has three people to shop for. Yeah, I mean, my family decided we were kind of going to go a little lighter on that stuff this year. I think it's a little bit of a twofold operation on that. Number one, you know, most of us now, at least in our family, like, don't really need that much stuff. And then number two, you know, just trying to save money. Money is so tight right now. I'm like, look, just small little shit. You know, we did this mocktail place I go to. They do like a Secret Santa affair. You know, and they said like, keep it $20 or under. And you can even just find like went to some store here, like I think it was just like Fry's, which is like grocery and stuff in there. And I found some little squishmallow stuffed animal, these little pom-pom Christmas tree things, and what else? This little cat keychain. You're like, it's fun little stuff. It's fun little stuff, and all that was under $20. And you're like, that's all I really need. I don't really need more bullshit. So, as I've always told people, no. It's more about the, hey, here's something that I hope makes you smile, than it is the stuff itself. So, try not to worry too much about that. I feel like most good people are probably the same way. So, here's a cheers to all of you out there. Had a second job interview today. I think it went pretty well. I think they're nice people. I think their team certainly needs some help. And I think I could probably help them a lot. However, there are also some aspects to that I feel like might be fighting a few too many battles all at once. And while I imagine they would be patient with a lot of that, I just don't quite know if I want totally be into it, if that makes any sense. So I have another job thing tomorrow morning. So I have some anxiety and whatever over that. After that one, there's possibly the potential of them either making an offer or passing. I think if they make an offer, I will probably accept. The pass, I will probably accept an offer from this other company. And I'm hoping that either way I can start like January 8th. I'm like, I don't really want to start that week right after New Year. Like it would be nice to finally have some time and not have all that anxiety and whatever over it, and just be like, well, you're in it now. So now just rest and fucking whatever and, prepare for that sort of thing. So see how that goes. Keep me in your positive thoughts on that one because, who knows? Who knows how the wind's gonna blow on that? Black Cat says, "Hey, getting a lot of interest." Yeah, I mean, the market is not great right now. The job market is not great. The time of year isn't great. So, I'm trying to think positive and fortunate about having these opportunities at all. So, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot to process and whatever. You know what I'm saying? But how are all of you doing? Did you have a nice weekend? Do anything fun? Watch any good shows? Anything like that? As it was, I watched a movie called The Devil's Pass that was on Shudder. And this movie was directed. I didn't realize it until I, the description of the title interests me. And when I looked into the details, I realized, oh, that's directed by Rennie Harlan. I know that name. That guy's directed some pretty high-profile movies. And the one that people I feel like are the most likely to remember is Die Hard 2. So Rennie Harlan directed Die Hard 2. Trying to see, I'm trying to remember. He did Cliffhanger. He did a bunch of action films. He did Nightmare on Elm Street movie. What else did he do? Let's see. He did Cliffhanger. Let's see. He's a director. Some movie called The Bricklayer. He's done a bunch of shit. He's done a bunch of shit. Oh, I thought he directed this Devil's Pass movie. He was just a producer? Wait a minute. Oh, okay. But anyway, this movie, The Devil's Pass, that came out in 2013. So it's not necessarily a new movie. But I hadn't seen it, and I actually thought it was pretty solid. Had some kind of pacing issues and whatever to it, but I feel like it was solid enough. Some good scenery shots and whatever. But what I think was the most intriguing part about it is that it is based around an actual real event that I started reading into, and it's kind of creepy. It's kind of creepy. Yeah. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the real event here as we start to move into the second half of the show. But going back to chat. Chris says, have you thought about applying for unemployment, at least for a little extra cash while you're looking? Well, I can't until the severance pay period from the job I got fired from ends. So I have to wait till that ends, which is very soon. It's wild thinking about how soon that actually is. But then like it's weird because it's like also not at the same time. But anyway, yeah, I did look at that, and it's a lot of hoops to jump through for not very much. But I guess it's money you're entitled to, so why not? But yeah, if none of these pan out, and they fall through, I will certainly do it because, why not? Let's see. River Masters, this next weekend is going to be boring without a game to run since we finished a month ago a Pathfinder First Edition Final Fantasy D20 tabletop campaign. That's a mouthful. That's a mouthful. Yeah, I know, like when I used to play Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that, it was always kind of disappointing then when there were weekends that we didn't play. But hopefully something comes along and you get a new session or something rolling up. Oh, I know what we could also do, depending on if I don't know, maybe if King Dinosaur rolls around, we could do also we could do the last two chapters of that narration too, if you guys wanted to do that today. The person that ran it is planning to for the next game to be in February. That will be pirate style. I like pirate games. I feel like the only problem that I've had with pirate games is you either end up with the people who want to just go full blood rape and pillage psycho, or the I'm going to play a pirate with a heart of gold, whatever, and then that clashes. And then the people who just want to like try to be Captain Jack Sparrow, and you're like, you're not Captain Jack Sparrow. But they're still fun. Still fun. Black Hat says, you want to hear something weird? One place that closed down had the state unemployment people classify it as separation pay so we could collect both. I guess it had to do with the fact that we were classified as losing work because of NAFTA. I don't remember what NAFTA is. What is NAFTA? Oops. North American farting. North American Free Trade Agreement. Got it.
Free trade.
More people fucking us all up to lie in their pockets. Boy, oh boy. We're mostly chaotic neutral, but I've never liked the evil campaigns because it devolves into silly villainy instead of cruelty to get something done, or ruthless. I'm not going to turn this into a whole D&D role-playing game conversation stream, but had a lot of thoughts on that and had a lot of talks on it, and it comes down to people picking a category of I'm chaotic evil, and then trying to fit the label more than just play the character with the background. And if they're not going for goals and they're going to just be crazy, those games just fucking devolve into a shit show. So yeah, I get you. Yep. Blacken says,
oh, I didn't notice where the evil neutral stuff came from.
You know, I don't know if that was like the origin of it, but it's where it's like commonly referenced, and what I know it from is the, yeah, like the moral whatever compass alignment bullshit. You know, you have like lawful, chaotic, and neutral. And then, yeah, like you're what, good, evil, and neutral. So you can be like true neutral. It's just comes down to, and like it's weird because then you will have people who'll be like, well, you're supposed to be chaotic evil, and that's not chaotic evil. And you have an ability that means you have to have your alignment. And so, blah, 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 blah. Fuck all that shit. Can't be bothered to deal with that crap anymore. Just play your guy. Rivermaster says, ironically, Pathfinder 2nd Edition Remaster removes it, but I always like alignments as I like the based line mentality figured out. Yeah. We'll disagree on that one. I think it adds another excuse for people to be dopey for the sake of fitting a label. And I'm like, just have a character background with some motivations. Like, I don't know. But whatever. Remember we played, it was a lot of fun. A lot of it was a lot of fun. But I also remember a lot of ridiculous fights and arguments and disagreements over just the stupidest shit. So, but I do miss it. I do miss it. My favorite system, and then I'm moving on from the D&D talk and role-playing talk, is a system called All Flesh Must Be Eaten, which is a zombie apocalypse system based on the Unisystem rules that I actually thought provided a better degree of just simple flexibility so that you didn't have rules lawyering and every fucking scenario being a let's pick up 100 rule books and figure out exactly how this is supposed to work and blah, 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 blah. And genuinely, it was your people trying to survive. And odds are if you don't work together, you're just going to get eaten and die. So, yeah, I don't know. I liked that one. I thought that was a lot of fun. I actually just gave that away. I gave the book and the little folder and all that stuff, stuck it on the bookshelf at this place that I go to because I'm like, I have a feeling I probably will not have the opportunity to run and or play this again. Which is sad, but I don't want to think about that too much because I already have some depression and anxiety, so I don't need more. So moving on. Yeah, let's go down a reel. I wish Boston Actress still came to the show. I mean, we used to have like so many like cool, nice people over here, and you know, every now and then I encounter a story or a tale where I'm like, oh, that person really would have enjoyed this. But I think Boston Actress would have liked this, thing we're about to explore and read. So got into this again from watching the movie Devil's Pass that was released in 2013, produced anyway by Rennie Harlan. You can watch it on Shudder if you have Shudder. It's decent enough. Some questionable CG near the end. Some of the creatures were a little, but I thought at least the ending was a little different and a little refreshing, and kind of cool. So, yeah. Chris says, yeah, I think about her all the time. Hope she's doing all right. Yeah, I don't think about a lot of those folks, too. And hope they're doing okay out there. Yeah, I haven't heard from her in some time, so hope she's doing all right. Blackhead says,
it's not about the movies. This has been new to me.
I think this, in some cases, is more intriguing than the movie. So let's take a podcast break and then get into it. Let's get right into it. Okay, here we go. This is going to be a little bit of a long read, but I think it's interesting. The movie Devil's Pass is based on a real event called the Dyatlov Pass Incident. Okay, the Dyatlov Pass incident was an event in which 9 Soviet hikers died in the northern Ural Mountains between February 1st and 2nd in 1959 under uncertain circumstances. The experienced trekking group from the Ural Polytechnical Institute, led by Igor Dyatlov, had established a camp on the eastern slopes of Kolat Syakol in the Russian SFSR of the Soviet Union. Overnight, something caused them to cut their way out of their tent and flee the campsite while inadequately dressed for the heavy snowfall and sub-zero temperatures. After the group's bodies were discovered, an investigation by the Soviets determined that 6 of them had died from hypothermia, while the other 3 had been killed by physical trauma. One victim had major skull damage, 2 had severe chest trauma, and another had a small crack in his skull. 4 of the bodies were found lying in running water in a creek, and 3 of these 4 had damaged soft tissue of the head and face. 2 of the bodies had missing eyes, 1 had a missing tongue, and 1 had missing eyebrows. The investigation concluded that a compelling natural force had caused the deaths. Numerous theories have been put forward to account for the unexplained deaths, including animal attacks, hypothermia, and avalanche, katabatic winds, infrasound-induced panic, military involvement, or some combination. Russia opened a new investigation to the incident in 2019 and its conclusions were presented in 2020, that an avalanche had led to the deaths. Survivors of the avalanche had been forced to suddenly leave their camp in low visibility conditions with inadequate clothing and had died of hypothermia. Andrei Kuryakov, deputy head of the regional prosecutor's office, said,
"It was a heroic struggle. There was no panic, but they had no chance to save themselves under the circumstances."
A study led by scientists from EPFL and ETH Zurich, published in 2021, suggested that a type of avalanche known as a slab avalanche could explain some of the trekkers' injuries. Mountain Pass in the area was later named Dyatlov Pass in memory of the group. In many languages, the incident is now referred to as the Dyatlov Pass incident. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I could swear I remember hearing about it a little bit, but it just did not, you know, I didn't have a lot of knowledge around it. But it's getting some background. In 1959, a group was formed for skiing expedition across the northern Urals in the Sverdlovsk Oblast, Soviet Union. Documents are found in the tent suggest that the expedition was named. Oh, some of this is blah, 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 bullshit. The leader of the group assembled a group of 9 others, most of whom were fellow students and peers. The initial group consisted of 8 men and 2 women, but one member later returned due to health issues. Each member of the group was an experienced grade 2 hiker with ski tour experience and would be receiving grade 3 certification upon their return. At the time, grade 3 was the highest certification available in the Soviet Union and required candidates to traverse 300 kilometers. The route was designed by Dyatlov's group to reach the far northern regions on the upper streams of the Lozva River. The city commission approved the route. The goal was to reach a mountain north of the site where the incident occurred. The route, estimated as Category 3, was undertaken in February, the most difficult time to traverse. So they got the route book and they left. The people were all experienced. And the members here, you can see that the oldest of the group was 38. A lot of them were in their 20s. Most of them died from hypothermia. One from a skull injury, one from chest trauma. Another one from severe chest trauma. So pretty brutal. So let's get to... All right, so they eventually get on there. One guy gets sick. So they start this trek. One guy gets sick. He turns back because he had knee and joint pain. Diaries and cameras found on the campsite made it possible to track the route. They started to move through the pass. Let's see. So he agreed, before they left, he would send a telegram. Let's see. When the 12th passed and no message was received, there's no immediate reaction as delays were common. On the 20th of February, the relatives demanded a rescue. The head of the institute sent first rescue groups, planes, and helicopters. On February 26th, the searchers found the group's abandoned and badly damaged tent. The campsite baffled the search party. The student who found the tent said the tent was half torn down and covered with snow. It was empty, and all the group's belongings and shoes had been left behind. Investigators said the tent had been cut open from the inside. 9 sets of footprints left by the people wearing only socks or a single shoe or even barefoot could be followed, leading down to the edge of a nearby wood on the opposite side of the pass. The searchers, at the forest edge, They found the visible remains of a small fire. There were the first two bodies, those of Krivonoshenko and Doroshenko, shoeless and dressed only in underwear. The branches on the tree were broken up to 5 meters high, suggesting that one of the skiers had climbed up to look for something, perhaps the camp. Between the pine and the camp, they found three more corpses, suggesting that they were attempting to return to the tent. Finding the remaining four travelers took more than 2 months. They were finally found under 4 meters of snow in a ravine, 75 meters further into the woods. Three of the four were better dressed than the others, and there were signs that some clothing of those who had died first had been removed. UFO. In the movie, they initially suspect that it might be a UFO. They're like, oh, well, maybe it's alien activity. Legal inquest started immediately after they were found. Medical examination found no injuries that might have led to the deaths. It was concluded that they had all died of hypothermia. Slobodin had a small crack in his skull, but it was not thought to be a fatal wound. An examination of the four bodies found in May shifted the narrative of the incident. Three of the hikers had fatal injuries. According to one of the investigators, the force required to cause the levels of damage seen would have been extremely high, comparable to that of a car crash. Notably, the bodies had no external wounds associated with bone fractures, as if they had been subjected to a high level of pressure. All four bodies found at the bottom of the creek had soft tissue damage to their head and face. For example, Dubinina was missing her tongue, eyes, part of the lips, as well as facial tissue and a fragment of skull bone, while Zolotaryov had his eyeballs missing, and Alexander Kolovatov his eyebrows. Judged that these injuries happened post-mortem due to the location of the bodies in a stream. There was initial speculation that the indigenous Mansi people, reindeer herders local to the area, had attacked and murdered the group for encroaching upon their lands. Several Mansi were interrogated, but the investigation indicated that the nature of the deaths did not support this hypothesis. Only the hikers' footprints were visible, and they showed no sign of hand-to-hand struggle. Although the temperature was very low, with a storm blowing, the dead were only partially dressed. Some had only one shoe, while others wore only socks. Some were found wrapped in snips of ripped clothes that seemed to have been cut from those who were already dead. So, let's skip down. Related reports. I want to get to where this is the interesting explanations. Avalanche. So Andrei Kryakov announced an avalanche to be the official cause of death. Later, independent computer simulation analysis also suggests avalanche. He wrote, the most appealing aspect means that the party's actions no longer seem irrational. The snow slab, according to Green, would probably have made loud cracks and rumbles as it fell across the tent, making an avalanche seem imminent. Kryakov noted that although the skiers made an error in the placement of their tent, everything they did subsequently was textbook. They conducted an emergency evacuation to ground that would be safe from an avalanche. They took shelter in the woods. They started a fire. They dug a snow cave. Had they been less experienced, they might have remained near the tent, dug it out, and survived. But avalanches are by far the biggest risk in the mountains in the winter, and the more experience you have, the more you fear them. The skiers' expertise doomed them. Let's see. So another person who supports the Avalanche basically says, yeah, if they heard this, they were probably sleeping. They got out and ran and froze to death. Now, there's contrary evidence. Evidence contradicting the Avalanche theory includes the location of the incident did not have any obvious signs of an avalanche having taken place. An avalanche would have left certain patterns and debris distributed over a wide area. The bodies found within a month of the event were covered with a very shallow layer of snow, and had there been an avalanche of sufficient strength to sweep away the second party, the bodies would have been swept away as well. This would have caused more serious and different injuries in the process and would have damaged the tree line. Over 100 expeditions to the region had been held since, and none of them ever reported conditions that might create an avalanche. A study of the area using up-to-date terrain-related physics revealed that the location was entirely unlikely for such an avalanche to have occurred. The dangerous conditions found in another nearby area were observed in April and May, when the snowfalls of winter were melting. During February, when the incident occurred, there were no such conditions. An analysis of the terrain and the slope showed that even if there could have been a very specific avalanche that found its way, its path would have gone past the tent. The tent had collapsed from the side, but not in a horizontal direction. Dyatlov was an experienced skier, and the much older Zolotaryov was studying for his master's certificate in ski instruction and mountain hiking. Neither of these two men would have been likely to camp anywhere in the path of a potential avalanche. Footprint patterns leading away from the tent were inconsistent with someone, a group of nine people, running in panic from either real or imagined danger. All the footprints leading away from the tent towards the woods were consistent with individuals who were walking at a normal pace. See, that's like creepy to me. That's creepy. And so a lot of these people are like, see, because like, yeah, you would have thought that they would have ran. Yeah, I don't know about the whole snow slab thing. By the way, I'm going to post this in chat if you want to read it. Somebody clearly did lots of research on this. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Somebody in 2019 proposed that a violent katabatic wind was a plausible explanation. Katabatic winds, pardon me, are somewhat rare events and can be extremely violent. They were implicated in a 1978 case at Anaras Mountain in Sweden, where eight hikers were killed and one was injured. A sudden katabatic wind would have made it impossible to remain in the tent. The most rational course of action would have been for the hikers to cover the tent with snow and seek shelter behind the tree line. On top of the tent, there's also a flashlight left turned on, possibly left there intentionally, so that the hikers could find their way back to the tent once the winds subsided. The expedition proposed that the group of hikers constructed two bivouac shelters, one of which collapsed, leaving four of the hikers buried with the severe injuries observed. Now here we go. This is, to me, gets back to cool, creepy shit. Another hypothesis is that the wind going around there created a Karaman vortex street, which can produce infrasound capable of inducing panic attacks in humans. According to Donnie Icar's theory, the infrasound generated by the wind as it passed over the top of the Holat Chalal Mountain was responsible for causing physical discomfort and mental distress in the hikers. He claims that because of their panic, the hikers were driven to leave the tent by whatever means necessary and fled down the slope. By the time they were further down the hill, they would have been out of the infrasound's path and would have regained their composure, but in the darkness would have been unable to return to their shelter. The traumatic injury suffered by three of the victims was a result of their stumbling over the edge of a ravine in the darkness and landing on the rocks at the bottom. And now you get to the one that I kind of think is maybe the most plausible. In one speculation, the campsite fell within the path of a Soviet parachute mine exercise. This theory alleges that the hikers, woken by loud explosions, fled the tent in a shoeless panic and found themselves unable to return to the tents. After some members froze to death, attempting to endure the bombardment, others commandeered their clothing, only to be fatally injured by subsequent parachute mine concussions. There are indeed records of parachute mines being tested by the Soviet military in the area around the time the hikers were there. Parachute mines detonate while still in the air rather than upon striking the surface and produce signature injuries similar to those experienced by the hikers. Heavy internal damage with relatively little external trauma. The theory concludes with reported sightings of glowing orange orbs floating or falling in the sky within the general vicinity of the hikers and allegedly photographed by them, potentially military aircraft or descending parachute mines. This theory, among other, uses scavenging animals to explain Dubonina's injuries. Some speculate that the bodies were unnaturally manipulated on the basis of characteristic livor mortis markings discovered during an autopsy, as well as burns to hair and skin. Photographs of the tent allegedly show that it was erected incorrectly, something the experienced hikers were unlikely to have done. A similar theory alleges that the testing of radiological weapons, and is based partly on the discovery of radioactivity on some of the clothing, as well as the descriptions of the bodies by relatives as having orange skin and gray hair. However, radioactive dispersal would have affected all, not just some of the hikers and equipment. And the skin and hair discoloration can be explained by the natural process of mummification after 3 months of exposure to the cold and wind. The initial suppression by Soviet authorities of files describing the group's disappearance is sometimes mentioned as evidence of a cover-up. But the concealment of information about domestic incidents was a standard procedure in the USSR and thus far from peculiar. By the late 1980s, all Dyatlov files had been released in some manner. This one is bullshit. That they all suffered from this paradoxical undressing. You feel like you're burning because you're freezing, and then you take your clothes off. But it just seems like, what, the whole group? So then this guy who went there says there were wide discrepancies in the distances quoted between the two possible locations. Look, and so you look at this. You would imagine there's probably going to be some error in some of the measurements because of just the terrain and how brutal and cold that is. One person says that maybe there's an argument, a romantic encounter led to a violent dispute. Eichar states that this is highly implausible. By all indications, the group is largely harmonious and sexual tension was confined to platonic flirtation and crushes. There are no drugs present. The only alcohol was a small flask of medicinal alcohol found intact. The group had even sworn off cigarettes for the expedition. Furthermore, a fight could not have left the massive injuries that one body had suffered. So, yeah, I don't know. I think about that and I go, well, certainly animals could explain some of the injuries. But it seems to me like the avalanche theory is a little too convenient. Especially since, as the one person states, there's no damage to the rest of the tree line, and that there was no other debris scattered around from any such avalanche. I'm almost more likely to believe that the military was testing some shit. They got fucking spooked, started walking around out there. Like, for example, if concussion mines and shit started going off and it burst that one person's eyeballs, that could have been why they walked out of the tent at a normal walking pace, because they were concussed and stunned by the detonation of those things. And then, yeah, after they wandered out and found themselves, you know, safe by the trees, then went, shit, no, we can't find our way back to the fucking tents. And holy shit, is it cold. And holy shit, we're dead. So it's kind of a fascinating thing. It's all theories. Everybody has a theory and a study and a whatever on what happened. But realistically, only the people that were there really know. Can't prove it. It's all a model. We did. We made a model using AI, and well, it's like anything. The data you put in there to support a theory, and so it's going to support that theory. Fuck it. And then there's also the black cat theory, which is that there's a Yeti or some sort of abominable snowman or fucking. The infrasound thing is interesting too. Like, who knows? Maybe they're testing some real weird shit. And they go, oh, well, if there's radiation, it would have, like, hit everybody. Not unless they were doing something real weird out there. The movie has an interesting explanation for what happened. I was kind of surprised with how... I liked it. I liked it. Again, it wasn't the best movie in the world, but it was still pretty fun. It was still pretty fun. So anyway, that's that. Black Hat says, real weird. Both our military and Russia have tested real, real weird stuff. Fucking say that again. Ain't that the truth? It's a damn truth. Remaster says, makes me think we should do a The Thing movie night. I mean, I would love to do that, but I'm pretty sure that would get me just knocked right off Twitch's terms of service. It's like one of my favorite movies of all time. I've watched it so many times. I'm about to watch one of my favorite Christmas movies. And I know what you're thinking. Die Hard. No. Invasion USA. Invasion USA is my favorite Christmas movie. And I watch it pretty much every year, right around Christmas, when I'm wrapping gifts. It's just one of my all-time favorites. I just fucking love it. I plan on watching that when I get to Michigan. Possibly Wednesday night. Maybe we'll do gift wrapping Wednesday night. Not 100% sure. But it's going to be a fun trip, but it's also going to be tiring, just given the amount of visiting and talking and running around and all that sort of shit. That's why, again, I'm hoping that, like, kind of hoping, like, you know, get back from that on the 27th, kind of late on the 27th. You have a couple days and then you have New Year's weekend. And so I'm like, Man, I really do not want to start a job on that next fucking day. Like, dude, that's too close from coming back to that and doing all that shit all at once and blah blah blah. Like a little bit of time to just fucking. So, actually, maybe finally get some fucking rest without having to get up early in the morning with some high anxiety level crazy shit to do. That's gonna do it. That's the end of another nightcap. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to all of you. Like I say, this is probably going to be the last one we do before Christmas comes. Who knows? Maybe I'll try and get on there. But in the event that I do not, that's a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whatever you celebrate, if you celebrate anything at all. And if you don't, just treat it as a happy end of year coming up. And thanks for the support message. I don't know what's going to happen with this as we move into the new year, with what's going on, but we'll keep in touch on it. We'll keep in touch on it and we'll figure something out. But yeah, hope you are all safe and able to stay warm. Chris says it's a Chuck Norris film, right? Yep. Chuck Norris and Richard Lynch. Fucking perfect. It's like a perfect movie. It might be on Tubi right now. If you want to watch it, I think it's on Tubi. You can watch it for free. Go get it. Go watch that right meow. It's that fucking good. Black Cat says, have a good night, all. Have a good trip. Merry Christmas and all holidays, everyone. I agree. I agree with that sentiment. Warm wishes to you all. So, do you want a Yuletide mega pint? But I'll tell you this: if you get a Yuletide mega pint, you also get a you also get a winter solstice sausage skin creepo guy. So you have to get both. You can't just have one. Krista's probably sweating. I really want mega pint, but I don't. Podcast listeners, that's gonna do it. I think for you, you probably don't want to hear the too ridiculous. No, maybe you do. Maybe you do. You know what? I'll leave it on. You can go ahead and hear it. It's fun. It's fun enough, right? It's fun enough, and I'm sure people probably want to. Well, I'm sure they probably want to see Johnny Depp. They definitely want to see Johnny Depp. I don't think anyone wants to see the sausage skin guy. But you know, we'll blow this up anyway, just so that people get a better.
Maybe.
I kind of feel like what I need to do is show sausage skin nipples man creeper first, because if I don't, because then what will happen is, oh shit, did I lose it? Because then what happens is you'll be like, haha, joke's on you. I'm not gonna listen to Megapint. I'm just like, I listen to Megapint and now I'm out. Oh no. Did I lose it? I have these lists of links. And one of the links is a conversation where the topic of the subject of the talk is, who's the celebrity who looks like they smell bad? Man, damn it. No, not all these fucking guys. Well, that may be it. That may be the end of the nipples man thing. Because I now don't know. Maybe it'll be related on this video. Why is his face is so weird. Is it in history? I do not use history with YouTube. I try not to let Google track my shit any more than possible. Oh, man. I know, like, look at his face is super pale, and then the rest of his body looks like a hot
dog. Yeah, look at these muscles, man. Oh, God.
Pretty big fucking dude.
Yeah, look at this body, man. God. You should see me have sex with myself. Fuck.
I do not want to watch you have sex with yourself, sir. I think it's gone. The Massive Man remix is gone. Everything that I'm trying to look up for it, so you know what, fuck it, I'm not gonna just drag this out forever.
You poured yourself a megapint.
So mad though that we do.
There's a time that I remember when I didn't know no pain, when I barely did.
Don't autoplay, YouTube. Quit it. Nobody wants none of that. Just stop it. All right. I think that's going to do it. So good night, everybody. Merry Christmas. As we say at the end of all of our episodes, stay safe, keep the faith, and all that good shit. And we'll see you sometime on the flip side. So love you. Make sure you get yourself some rest. Good night.